RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, Indonesian wonder, and we'll continue our segment with miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Fiji and Indonesia follow up cooperation in disaster relief. President Joko Widodo invite ASEAN to take lesson learned from Brexit. Ministry of Marine and Fisheries is optimistic on timely ship assistance distribution. Now the news in detail. The Republic of the Fijian Island cooperates with the Republic of Indonesia in the field of disaster management. This is marked by the implementation of the Memorandum of Understanding Plan of Action or POA in disaster management between Indonesia National Agency for Disaster Management or BNPB and Fijian Ministry of Rural and Maritime Development and Disaster Mitigation. BNPB and Fiji signed a Memorandum of Understanding on Disaster Management in Suva, Fiji, 2016. Fijian Minister of Agriculture, Rural and Marine Affairs and National Disaster Mitigation, Inia Seruiratu, said on last Friday that Fiji is a disaster-prone country and must work with other countries in the region to cope with it.
Fiji is a very small country with limited capabilities, but very vulnerable to disasters. And for that, we heavily rely on our friends and partners within the region. And we have Australia, New Zealand, and of course Indonesia. And this is the arrangement that we have for disaster risk management and responses. And this is why we are here, just building on this relationship so that we continue to work together with our partners in the region to help us during our times of needs, also learn from the arrangements that we have, and most importantly, how can we work together.
According to him, the cooperation between the two countries also strengthens the partnership and friendly relations between Indonesia and Fiji. The added partnership with many countries, including Indonesia, are vital as part of maintaining international relations. ASEAN should be increasingly relevant and useful in addressing common challenges amid the global economic slowdown. It was stated by President Joko Widodo in his welcome speech in 50th anniversary of ASEAN at the ASEAN Secretariat in Jakarta on last Friday. The president also reminded ASEAN economic integration should be able to bring benefits for the people of ASEAN, not only for big businessmen, but also for small enterprises, farmers, fishermen, and informal sector. ASEAN must also bring benefits to women and young people, the president said. Joko Widodo also reminded that if the ASEAN development result cannot be filled by the people of ASEAN, then they will ask what the benefit of ASEAN for them is. In this case, Mr. President Joko Widodo calls the Brexit case or the United Kingdom's exit from the European Union as a lesson.
Apa yang terjadi dengan Brexit perlu menjadi pembelajaran buat kita.
What happened with Brexit should be a lesson to learn for us. We must work hard so that the people of ASEAN can get benefit from ASEAN. President Joko Widodo hopes ASEAN will continue to grow into the epicenter of the world economic growth, because based on the World Economic Forum data, ASEAN is the sixth largest economic power in the world, and by 2020, it will be the fifth largest economic power in the world. Then, by 2030, ASEAN will grow into the fourth largest market in the world after the European Union, the United States, and the People's Republic of China. The celebration on the 50th anniversary of ASEAN was attended by the Secretary General of ASEAN, Lee Luang Min, representative of ASEAN member countries, and a number of ministers. Directorate General of Capture Fisheries, Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries will again build 1,000 units of fishing vessels as assistance for the government for fishermen, with total budget reach 510.6 billion rupiah. The ship consists of various sizes of gross tonnage. It was stated by Director General of Capture Fisheries, Sharif Wijaya, in a press statement in Jakarta on last Friday. Sharif is optimistic that the distribution of vessel assistance will be received by fishermen on time before 31 December 2017.
Bulan Juni, Juli kemarin sudah selesai semua lelang kita.
Last June, July, we have completed all of our actions, or our contract is finished, so the progress has started. Even we can see the result. This is the progress, I guess. The Director General of Capture Fisheries this year is really remarkable, because it completed 700 ships in 2016, plus this year 1,000 ships. So we are able to complete 1,700 ships this year. We tried to complete it last year, and now in 2017, we are finishing as well. Sharif Wijaya admitted the procurement mechanism of fishing boats by Ikatelog last year slowed production. Therefore, Sharif said this year the procurement of vessels will be conducted through Ikatelog combined with public auction so that it will be realized quickly. The 8 ships will be distributed to 265 cooperatives spread across 130 districts and 29 provinces. The Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry has issued Ministerial Decree No. 47/2017 on the mechanism of investment return in upstream oil and gas business to amend the previous Decree No. 26/2017 on the same matter. Deputy Minister Archandra Tahar said on Friday that the decree signed by Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Ignatius Jonan on August 2nd generally did not see many changes compared to its previous version, except on unrecovered costs in oil and gas production. He stated that in the previous version, the government recovered all costs that had yet to be claimed in contracts without a time limitation. Furthermore, according to the new decree, the value of any investment return is subject to review by the Upstream Oil and Gas Regulatory Special Task Force. The weak public purchase power is said to be because by a shift in the way people shop from conventional shopping to online. This opinion was stated by Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution. Darmin said that the e-commerce business in Indonesia is still in early development stages, very young in age compared to other countries. The sluggish consumption at the end for this year's quarter 2, he said, was because a lot of people are spending less, particularly before and after the Eid holiday, not because of e-commerce. Darmin admitted that the e-commerce industry is growing rapidly. He said there are measures to take to capture the potential offered by the sector. In-depth economist Bima Yudhistira shares Darmin's sentiments. He said that the growth of e-commerce was not the reason behind sluggish consumption. Bima said e-commerce only contributes 1% to Indonesia's economy. The last item. The Presidential Palace's collection of paintings presented in the Songs of Motherland exhibition at the National Gallery in Jakarta features two works by 19th century Russian painter Konstantin Yegorovich Makovsky. One of Makov's three canvases display is a portrayal of a traditional Russian wedding created by the artist in 1881. The huge painting, measuring 295 centimeters by 450 centimeters and estimated to be worth more than 80 billion rupiah or $1.35 million, was a gift for Indonesia's first president Sukarno, presented to him by Nikita Khrushchev during a visit to the Soviet Union. Due to conservation difficulties and the painting size, it is not the original that the gallery display, but its copy on a big LED screen. Sukarno, who befriended many local and foreign artists, was also known as an avid art collector. The exhibition featured 48 paintings by 19th and 20th century painters such as Basuki Abdullah, Raden Saleh, Wakidi, Lee Man Fong, Rudolf Bonnet, Ichi Tarmizi, Ade Piraus, and Alimin Tamin. It is divided into four sections: nature, daily life, tradition and identity, mythology and religion. Besides paintings, the exhibition also showcases a number of important documents about the presidential palace collections. Song of Motherland exhibition will be opened until August 30, 2017. Well, listener, that was the news of our radio service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is RRI Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with press review. Various important events occurring this week are featured in editorials of some of the leading media published in Jakarta and are summarized in the press review of Voice of Indonesia. Let's start from Kompas newspaper, which in its editorial on Friday, August the 11th, wrote a tolerance message from Yogyakarta. The message of tolerance, that's the most important message of the Asian Youth Day 2017 from August the 2nd to 6th, 2017 in Yogyakarta. It was the gathering of about 2,000 young Catholics from 22 countries in Asia, and the theme is Joyful Asia Youth Living the Gospel in Multicultural Asia. The event in Yogyakarta was the culmination of their meetings with Indonesian people from 11 dioceses in a number of areas. This annual meeting, the seventh of its kind, was the first time held in Indonesia. Previously, it was held in a number of other countries in Asia. The participants lived in non-Catholic Indonesian families, accompanied by some young Muslims. Only a few days, but they witnessed the diversity of Indonesian society. One of the conditions of a harmonious life in a diversity situation is tolerance, respecting and respecting each other's human rights. The last message conveyed in the closing ceremony attended by Vice President Yusuf Kalla on August the 7th indicates a harmonious, mutually tolerant and respectful life together. Asian countries are representation of diversity leading into strengths. In the context, the meeting of the Asian youth in Yogyakarta showed longing and hope. Their message of tolerance is a call to build a tolerant life. Protection plus law enforcement, as well as the role of political elite and the leaders of religions, undoubtedly becomes a reference to realize the eternal message of tolerance for Indonesia. Turning to Sindo newspaper, in its editorial on Thursday, August the 10th, the paper wrote, "Force to mass transportation." For those who often cross the Jakarta area, of course, at this time you'll be very familiar with added congestion, which has become more severe. This is due to many government infrastructure development carried out simultaneously. Kuningan Crossroad underpass under construction since early last year has added congestion in Mampang Prapatan and Warung Buncit areas, whereas the area before the construction has become a regular traffic jam. Not to mention a light rail transport project, or LRT, in the Kuningan area that takes one road segment. As a result, congestion has become worse. Other areas are almost the same. Complaints will continue to happen until the next few months or even the next few years, because the underpass and flyover LRT and MRT will be operational by 2019. The objective of the mentioned infrastructure development is to break the congestion in Jakarta. The underpass and flyover will unravel the congestion at the intersection. While LRT and MRT are government efforts to provide a safe and convenient mass transportation system, the government hopes that there will be a change of people's mobility culture from private vehicles to mass transportation. However, well, actually, with the congestion in some areas, the government has already forced people to move using mass transportation. Currently, two mass transits, Commuter Line and TransJakarta, are the people's choice because they are comfortable and safe. Well, that ends press review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, welcome back on the history of Radio Rewo Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We begin with an event which occurred on August 12, 1902, when Indonesian statesman Muhammad Hatta was born. Muhammad Hatta is an Indonesian hero, statesman, economist, and also the first vice president of Indonesia. He was born on August 12, 1902 in Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra. He is also the pioneer of Indonesian cooperative and proclamator of Indonesian independence. His political career began when he was selected treasurer of Young Sumatranen Bond, a youth organization in Padang, West Sumatra in 1916. His political knowledge developed rapidly as he often attended lectures and political meetings. Sustainably, he continued his work in politics. On March 14, 1980, he died in Jakarta. His name and Sukarno's name have been named after Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Cengkareng, Banten. Now we move to an event that occurred on August 12, 1985 when Japan Airlines Boeing 747-146SR plane crashed on Mount Takamagahara in Gunma Prefecture, 100 km from Tokyo. This single plane crash was the worst in Japanese aviation history, killing 520 people, consisting of 15 crew and 509 passengers, including famous actor and singer Kyu Sakamoto. Four passengers survived. We end today in history with an event on August 12, 1990. The most complete Tyrannosaurus Rex skeletons found in South Dakota, USA. A fossil hunter named Susan Hendrickson found three large bones in a ravine of South Dakota, United States. After having been investigated, the bones turned out to be part of the larger Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton. This wild carnivore's animal bones is estimated to be 65 million years old. The T-Rex skeleton was named Sue, the nickname of Hendrickson. The inventor team succeeded in collecting 90% of Sue's skeletons. This skeleton's discovery makes the scientist team easier to examine life in antiquity. They can tell that these carnivorous animals have an extraordinary sense of smell. This is the largest T-Rex skeleton ever found. The Sioux skeletons eventually were on a display at Museum Field since May 200. Listener, that was today in history of Radio Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service with Focus. Today, it's on Indonesia-Russia Strengthen Strategic Partnership. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov made a visit to Indonesia and held a bilateral meeting with Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi on Wednesday, August the 9th, in Jakarta. The efforts to strengthen the strategic partnership between the two countries to anticipate the development of the world are discussed in the meeting. The two also signed a cooperation plan between the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia and the Russian Federation Foreign Ministers of 2017-2019. The visit of Lavrov is also intended to prepare for President Vladimir Putin's planned arrival to Indonesia. In a press conference after the meeting, Retno Marsudi said that Indonesia and Russia have tightly cooperated in security field, including in counter-terrorism. In the field of economy, Retno Marsudi explained Indonesia in the last 2 years heavily promoted a true festival Indonesia held in Moscow for 3 days. Russian tourists who came to Indonesia also rose rapidly compared to 2015. Russian tourists in 2016 rose 22.5%, while in the first 5 months of this year, the number of increase is more than 62% compared to last year. The trade value of Indonesia and Russia in 2016 then reached $2.1 billion, or up 6.33% compared to the previous year. In the first 5 months of this year, the value of trade between two countries reached $1.12 billion, or up 54.43% compared to the same period last year. On the same occasion, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said his government, along with several Russian companies, have reviewed large-scale investment projects currently underway in Indonesia. The Russian investment plan in these projects was discussed in a meeting with Retno Marsudi. In addition to economic and business cooperation, counter-terrorism efforts have become one of the main topics of discussion, including a special partnership against ISIS jihadists, whose members have spread throughout the world. No details were made about the special cooperation anyway. The issue of Palestine and the various conflicts that are ripping the Middle East are also a study of both. Lavrov explained that Russia and Indonesia have a similar position in resolving the conflicts in Syria and Iraq, that is, under international law, respecting the norms and principles of the Charter of the United Nations through negotiations to seek compromise and consensus without foreign interference. In his trip to Jakarta, Lavrov also inaugurated a permanent representative of Russia for ASEAN. The two foreign ministers' meeting was the third in 2 years after 2015 in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and 2016 in Sochi, Russia. Well, that was Focus over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here's news in brief. The Republic of the Fijian Island cooperates with the Republic of Indonesia in the field of disaster management. ASEAN should be increasingly relevant and useful in addressing common challenges amid the global economic slowdown. Directorate General of Capture Fisheries, Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries will again build 1,000 units of fishing vessels as assistance from the government for fishermen, with total budget reach 510.6 billion rupiah. The Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry has issued Ministerial Decree No. 47/2017 on the mechanism of investment return in upstream oil and gas business to amend the previous Decree No. 26/2017 on the same matter. The weak public purchase power is said to be because by a shift in the way people shop from conventional shopping to online. The Presidential Palace's collection of paintings presented in the Songs of Motherland exhibition at the National Gallery in Jakarta features two works by 19th century Russian painter Konstantin Yegorovich Makovsky. Well, listener, that was news in brief of Radio Rewa Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listeners, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Buana Beach in East Nusa Tenggara Province. So stay tuned with us on RRW Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides through shortwave, you can also listen to our broadcast through www.voi.co.id. Listeners, Indonesia is a very large country. It has many beautiful beaches. One of the famous beaches is in southwest Sumba, East Nusa Tenggara, is Buana Beach. Foreign tourists call it as a hidden paradise due to its magnificent view. Beautiful and amazing are suitable words to illustrate the beauty of natural scenery in Buana Beach. Listeners, locals often call Buana Beach as Bana Beach. In addition to its beauty, it is also famous for its uniqueness. There is a high cliff with a large hole in the middle, so it will look like a very big and beautiful gate. Seeing the beautiful scenery, it looks like entering the gates of Nirvana. They are natural holes made through natural process of cliff erosion by the wave. Listener, the beach is perfect for surf lovers and rock climbing enthusiasts. The waves in Buana Beach is quite big, so it is suitable for surfers. Moreover, the beach is very clean, completed with white smooth sand. For tourists who have a photograph hobby, Buana Beach is really suitable place because of the clear water and blue colored sea, so this beach has many beautiful places to be documented. For visitors who do not like surfing, they can swim or just walk around the beach while enjoying the beauty and uniqueness of Buana Beach. Listeners, to get to Buana Beach in Kodi Balagar District, Southwest Sumba District, East Nusa Tenggara Province, is not too difficult. From Tambaloka, the capital of Southwest Sumba District, it takes about 2 hours. To be able to enjoy the beauty of this beach, you still have to go through a challenging downhill path. If using a two-wheel vehicle, the distance is only 500 meters. But if walking, the distance to get to Buana Beach is about 2 kilometers. listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Buana Beach, East Nusa Tenggara. Take your time to enjoy the amazing view of the hidden paradise in East Nusa Tenggara. We will meet again in the next edition of Indonesian Wonder tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa! Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157 Jakarta, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Radio Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in our regular segment, Miscellany. Listener, in today's Miscellany, we will inform you about International Dance Day 2017. Listener, when someone is dancing, actually you not only recite the movement to the rhythm, but also harmonize the heart with that it wants to be presented in the dance. International Dance Day was first set up in 1982 by the International Dance Institute, or CID, International Council de la Danse. The purpose of Dance Day events is to invite people around the world to participate in showing their diverse country dances. To commemorate International Dance Day every April 29, the world communities hold various dance performances around the world. In Indonesia, the Indonesian Art Institute of Surakarta, Solo, Central Java celebrated International Dance Day by holding a non-stop event entitled 24 Hours of Dancing as in previous years. This year's theme is celebrating body migration. Around 3,760 artists participate in 182 dance groups from various regions across Indonesia. Both school children and classmates celebrate this event. There are three groups from disabled people who also perform this annual event that was held at several points in Indonesia Institute of Art, Solo's campus area. The disabled dancers do not perform a full dance title, but rather move and explore with their bodies. In addition, the Indonesian Institute of Art Solo, State University of Semarang, also commemorates the International Dance Day 2017 on Saturday, April 29, 2017, in Sekaran Campus, Gunung Pati, Semarang. The event involves 126 groups with 108 dancers in total. The number of dancers reached around 1,000 people. This year's theme, Promoting Diversity in Nusantara Dance, inspires the world. Feature of various Nusantara dance performances and dances from other countries. Traditionally, this event also involves Indonesian record keeper. This event is held on April 29, 2017 in two venues. First one of Faculty of Language Open Stage and at the Art of UNES, and second at Culture Village State University of Semarang. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today's edition with the topic International Dance Day. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany. Bye-bye.
meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner. In conjunction with the celebration of Indonesian Independence Day, in this edition, we will present Indonesian songs with nationality nuance from various Indonesian musicians. To initiate the segment, let's listen to a song entitled Jadilah Legenda, or in English names, Be a Legend by Superman Is Dead. listener, that was Jadilah Legenda, or in English, Be a Legend, sung by Superman Is Dead. This punk rock band from Bali usually makes songs that criticize social and political condition, containing resistance against oppression. However, in 2013, Superman Is Dead released a song with different nuances in an album entitled Sunset di Tanah Anarki, or Sunset on Anarchy Land. The song is entitled Jadilah Legenda, or Be a Legend, a song which has just been played. The lyric of the song reminded on how rich Indonesia is with the nature and culture. In addition, Superman Is Dead invites all Indonesian people to continue in developing the country despite many distractions. Another rock group that also has a nationality nuance song is 21st Night with personnel namely Yogi, Aryo, and Vicky. 21st Night released a song entitled Selamanya Indonesia or Forever Indonesia in an album entitled Dreams of Youth in 2011. The song Selamanya Indonesia describes Indonesia as a land which is not only independent but also very beautiful and full of love. Through the lyrics of the song, 21st Night invites listeners to love the homeland and bring the good name of Indonesia to the world. Listener, next is the Selamanya Indonesia song by 21st Night. Happy listening!
Di sini rumah kita yang terindah di dunia. Tujukan di
Listener, that was a song of Selamanya Indonesia by 21st Night. Listener, the next nationality nuance song is Menjadi Indonesia, or in English, To Be Indonesia. Nationality nuance songs usually has lyrics that give the spirit, but Menjadi Indonesia or Become Indonesia by Pandai Besi Group Band tend to be critical. With simple lyrics, Menjadi Indonesia reminds the Indonesian people to remove envy from ourselves and to reawaken to become fully Indonesia. Well, listener, that was Music Corner for today's edition. To close the segment, we will play Menjadi Indonesia or To Be Indonesian, sung by Pandai Besi. Happy listening, and we will meet again in our next edition of Music Corner.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Jauh, tak akan hilang.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.